the morning, you know, one of the first things that comes to my mind when I come to San Angelo is that it's been a year. Every year, as you better well know, I come here and speak for you here at San Angelo. And as the old saying goes, time really flies. It sure does. But it's good to be back. Good to see all of you. And as always, I welcome this opportunity to speak for you today. As you see, the title of my lesson is The Purpose of Preaching. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 and 3, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to this young evangelist Timothy, he tells him, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, or be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Well, that really is relevant to many of the modern-day televangelists today, with the exception of our own, of course. Matter of fact, just recently, there was a baptism at Cleveland. Brett Hickey, as many of you know, has a TV program, Let the Bible Speak. And, of course, Brett has been one of our preachers for many years, his father as well. And, of course, you know, when he preaches, he gives the plan of salvation. You must believe in Jesus. You must confess his name. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, this man obeyed the gospel. Now, he's a member of the church there in Cleburne, Texas. But, you know, the modern-day televangelists do not give the plan of salvation. Joel Osteen's a good example of that. Matter of fact, when I was in Lexington, Kentucky for about 3 years, I was evangelizing out there, and there was a young man that wanted to learn to be a preacher, so he was put under my guidance. He would go with me, and I would knock on doors and talk to people. We came, this one woman was watching a TV program, and she wanted to have a study with us, so we studied with her, and she was telling me how much she enjoyed listening to Joel Osteen. So I asked her some questions. I asked her about baptism, repentance, confession, and these very important, relevant subjects. I said, have you heard Mr. Osteen teach in any of these subjects? And she said, no, I haven't. I said, that's right. I said, and you won't hear him teach in these subjects, you know. And I explained to her the importance of these subjects, you know. So I lessened this morning is the purpose of preaching, and I want to use Acts chapter 2 as a good example, where the Apostle Peter preached a great sermon on the day of Pentecost, and his sermon was so convincing and so moving that 3,000 of those Jews who were guilty of crucifying Jesus obeyed the gospel. 3,000 in one day after listening to Peter's preaching. So I want to share with you some thoughts about the purpose of preaching, but this time we want to go to our Father in a word of prayer. And so as I was considering this topic about the purpose of preaching, there's several things that come to mind I'd like to share with you. And very quickly I will tell you up front what I have written in my notes concerning the purpose of preaching, of course, is to discuss and explain the scriptures, to disturb the audience, to present Christ as man's only hope, and to produce conviction, to cause people to think and to question, to cause people to receive the Word of God, to tell the listening audience how to be saved, to lead the lost into the Lord's church, to produce unity, and to help Christians grow, and to produce unconditional surrender to the Lord. You don't hear that preaching by our televangelists today. You just don't. So I'm thankful for our preachers, such as Brett Hickey and the others that have preached on TV, who preach the truth according to God's Word. And God only knows how many thousands of sermons are preached each first day of the week. And through the years, we have used Acts chapter 2 as a model, and rightfully so, for the lowest church today. But what better place to find a model sermon? So let's look at Peter's sermon and see if we can learn the purpose of preaching is to discuss and explain the Scriptures. And as you read Acts chapter 2, you see that Dr. Luke in his writings shows many verses where the Apostle Peter goes back to the Old Testament. He's showing the prophecies are being fulfilled there in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Almost half of what Peter said is a direct quotation from the Old Testament Scriptures, you know. The Old Testament, of course, we learn a lot about prophecies, and we see how the Scriptures were pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And, of course, when Jesus came to earth, those Scriptures were being fulfilled before their very eyes. As we look at Philip, who was an evangelist, Acts 8:38, he was preached to this man from Ethiopia. And he preached unto him Jesus, the eunuch. This man was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 7 and 8, and he didn't understand what it was all about. So Philip began to preach to him about Jesus, you see. And his man obeyed the gospel. Well, many preachers seem to think that all the Bible is good for to find a text and then forget about it. Well, you know, we have to study. The Bible said we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to study the Scriptures. You know, I take preaching very seriously, because if I teach something that's not right, God's going to hold me accountable for that. So I have to study, and I have to understand the Scriptures, and I have to teach the Scriptures correctly, because it's a very serious matter for me to do that, for all teachers. Those that stand behind this pulpit know the importance, surely, how important it is to teach God's Word as revealed in the Scriptures. I'm not saying it's wrong to have an opinion, but if we have an opinion, we would tell you that. This is our opinion, you see. But we know it's very important. The book of Nehemiah records when the book of the law of Moses was read to the people, and they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. The purpose of preaching also is to disturb the audience, you know. No, I'm not saying this to boast, believe me, but I remember I was a guest speaker in Plainview, Texas one time, and I have a lesson, a parable of 10 virgins. Now, those virgins represent Christians over in Matthew chapter 13. Five of them were locked out of heaven, you know, when anyway, there was a young man in the audience that had a nightmare with that sermon. I found out later and got baptized, you know. Well, you know, it makes me feel good because people, it showed me that he was listening. He was paying attention. Because five of those virgins were locked out of heaven, but they represent Christians over there in Matthew, book of Matthew. And so, yes, the purpose of preaching should disturb the audience. Peter's preaching was much like that of our Lord, you know. In Matthew 21:45, when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables of Jesus, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. You know, the people of Jesus' time were really listening to Jesus. They were enjoying the things that he was saying because Jesus spoke the truth, you know. And he could proclaim to them the Scriptures from the Old Testament, and people were amazed at his teaching. The Bible says, never a man spoke like Jesus. I mean, his teaching was just amazing, and he had a captive audience all the time whenever he would speak to the people. There were many subjects that Peter could have discussed on Pentecost without disturbing anyone. He could have talked about God in a very general way, or he could talk about love, and the Jews would have agreed with him, you see. But, you know, the lesson that was given, you know, by Jesus, when he taught, you know, the people would listen intently to the things he had to say. Jesus always had a captive audience, you know. They loved to hear him preach. Christ was not crucified for saying, consider the lilies, but he was crucified for saying, you have made my house a den of thieves. We find in Acts chapter 8, verse 21 and 23, a man named Simon the Sorcerer. He thought he could purchase the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Peter rebuked him. Yes, the Apostle had the Holy Spirit in such a way they could lay their hand on someone and they would be healed, or they could speak in tongues. You know, they had this. And so this fellow wanted to buy that power, you see. He thought he could purchase it. But Peter said to him in Acts 8, chapter 21, 23, he said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness, a bond of iniquity. He could not purchase the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to the apostles in a very miraculous way, you know. Today, you know, many of us believe the Spirit indwells us, but we can't do anything miraculous. We can't speak in tongues, you know. But many of us believe, as the Bible says, that the Spirit is in us, the Spirit of God is in us, and we're thankful for those blessings that we have from God. But let me go on to say the purpose of preaching is to present Christ as man's only hope. Man's only hope. I remember years ago we were invited, me and another brother were invited to go to a Mormon church in downtown Dallas. And we met with these two men. And you know they have these fellows who call themselves elders. I mean they're 18, 19, 20 years old. And they're elders. We know, scripturally speaking, you can't be an elder. You have to until you're married and have a family and believe in children and so forth. Anyway, to make a long story short, they had no defense whatsoever for their position. They could not defend their position. And they wanted us to leave the building, you know. But they put their faith and trust, you know, in Joseph Smith or some earthly man. And we've seen in years past how people have followed after the man rather than following after God. Jim Jones, the People's Temple, 900 people lost their lives. David Koresh, Waco, Texas, over 80 people lost their lives. Reverend Sun Loon, and all these false teachers and false people who are leading people astray. And people don't understand why are they following these earthly people, you know. They need to follow God. They need to follow Jesus, you see. And yes, the purpose of preaching is to present Christ as man's only hope. So our preaching must be Christ-centered if it is to be pleasing to God. And the purpose of preaching is to convert men to Christ, not to the preacher, you know. Peter was just the instrument, not the substance of the sermon. So, we notice that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. But let me go on to say that the purpose of preaching is to produce conviction, you know. People must be moved by conviction to change their lives, to understand the importance of obeying the gospel, accepting Christ as their Savior, being baptized for remission of their sins. Just recently, Melvin was telling me a man obeyed the gospel listening to Brett Hickey. Let the Bible Speak TV program, because Brett, you know, preaches the plan of salvation as the scriptures teach. And this fellow wanted to be baptized, obey the gospel. Now he's a faithful member of the church there at Cleburne, Texas. And that's a wonderful thing. He learned the truth and he obeyed the truth. You know, I wish I could have been there today at Pentecost to hear Peter preach. I mean, it was amazing, you know, that he moved that on all those Jews who were guilty of crucifying Messiah. They were moved by conviction when Peter was preaching to them. And he quoted from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, and Acts 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, you know. That it shall come to pass the last days, that God will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, on my handmaids, I will pour out those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You know, what took place on Pentecost was amazing, you know. Because the apostles were speaking in tongues, they were speaking in languages, and all the people, though, even though they were from different areas, in different languages, they could understand what was being taught by the apostles. It was a miracle that took place there on the day of Pentecost. And Peter would say to them in Acts 2, 22, he says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. I mean, the evidence was there when Jesus was on the earth. He did miracle after miracle after miracle. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He did all these things that the people witnessed. But the Jews, you know, as a whole, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were jealous of Jesus because the multitudes were following after the Lord and loved to hear his preaching. They were moved by the things he had to say because he always spoke the truth. And he knew the scriptures. And so this upset the Jews. They didn't want to lose these people. You know, they wanted everybody to be, to stay with them in the synagogues and to remain with them. But, and so these people were following after Jesus, multitudes of people. And Jesus, of course, was a great teacher. We know that. The Bible said, never a man spoke like Jesus. And so the people were amazed. But let me go on to say the purpose of preaching is to cause men to think and to question. Many preachers think it's an insult to be questioned regarding what they said. Well, I know in our brotherhood we have some great speakers and great teachers, you know. And they're not boastful about it, you know, because they study hard and they preach God's word, you see. And they preach the truth according to the scriptures. Well, there's nothing wrong with people seeking information or asking questions. In Acts 17:11, the Bible talks about these people from Berea. It said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word without readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so that's good, you know, to search the scriptures, you know. And it makes me feel good when I see people listening and paying attention when I'm preaching, because, you know, that's important. And, you know, the Lord is with us in our assemblies. He's with us in our assemblies, spiritually speaking, of course. But the purpose of preaching is to cause men to receive the Word of God. Just like it says there back in Acts, those Jews. It says, and they that gladly received His Word were baptized. In the same day that we added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 obeyed the gospel after listening to Peter's preaching. Because what he was preaching the word of God, you see. And they were moved by that, you know. And so I think about, there are still people today who have honest hearts that will listen to what you have to say. I remember when I moved to Lexington, Kentucky, I came to study with this woman, you know, and I had a young preacher that was learning how to preach, and he was with me, you know. We went to her visit with her, and she started telling me how much she liked to listen to Joel Osteen. And so I asked her some questions about it. Have you ever heard Joel Osteen teach about baptism, repentance, confession, and all these different doctrines? She says, no. She hadn't heard him teach any of those things. I said, that's exactly right. I said, you won't hear him teaching these things. I said, you should not be listening to this man. He's not teaching what the Bible says completely. He doesn't give the plan of salvation as outlined in the scriptures. And so she looked at me and she said, well, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. I was glad to hear that. And so, yes, the purpose of preaching is to cause men to receive the Word of God. The purpose of preaching is not to cause them to receive a hobby, to receive a theory. The purpose of preaching is not to cause them to receive the commandments of men, but rather to receive what God's Word has to say. And so the purpose of preaching is to tell men how to be saved, you know. And so we tell people, you know, you must believe in Jesus, you must repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. And that's what we find in the Scriptures. And if you do those things, you become a Christian. You've been added to the church. And you're in a saved condition. And so that's what we find in the Scriptures. Peter told them there on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So baptism is for remission of sins. The Bible said all that of sin comes short of the glory of God. Everyone's a sinner. Many people think that if they're a good person, well, that's okay. One of my oldest brothers used to believe that. He used to say, "Well, I'm a good person. I don't do bad things." But I said, "Well, everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs to obey the gospel in order to go to heaven." Well, later on, my brother finally obeyed the gospel. He got baptized. When I heard the good news, I was so thankful for that, that he saw the need to obey the gospel and be baptized. Now, Jesus, you know, when I think about his teaching, it just amazes me. I see so much wisdom in the Lord's teaching. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake to them, saying, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus instructed his listeners, the disciples, the apostles, they needed to go out and baptize, to teach people and baptize these people. He said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's not being talked to there by televangelists, except for our own Brett Hickey, you know. That's not being taught. You don't hear any televangelists even mention anything about baptism. In Luke 24:46, "And they said unto him, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." So Jesus was resurrected, and he's at the right hand of God right now making intercession for us. And that is such a blessing for us as Christians, because there's such a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. A non-Christian can't even pray to God. He don't hear the prayers of sinners. But he hears our prayers because we're in his family. We're his children. And he hears us, and Jesus intercedes for us. The Bible said he's our advocate with the Father. He pleads for us before God, and God listens to it. You know, I don't know what I would do without my prayer life, and I'm sure you feel the same way. And it thrills me to know that I can communicate to God because I'm a Christian, you see. And he hears my prayers, he answers my prayers. And I know you have, and I have as well, seen amazing things happen through the power of prayer. Amazing things. And he does listen to us and hear our prayers. The purpose of preaching is to produce unity. These new converts, the Bible said they were all together, they had unity. Right here, this congregation here in San Angelo, all of you, you're united together, you see. You love each other, you know. You've been together all these years, and I know many of you, many of those who used to worship here are no longer with us. They've passed away, you know. In a way, that's sad, because I know you miss them. I know you miss brothers and sisters in Christ who used to worship with you. But at the same time, you can rejoice knowing they were faithful Christians and they're with the Lord, you know. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that they've been saved and they're with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Apostle Paul had some concerns. You know, he evangelized and he prayed for the brethren, and he tells them in 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, he said, I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's the way it is right here at St. Angelo. I know you're a small congregation, but you're of the same mind, of the same judgment. You love each other. You're happy to be here this morning. You've been meeting here for many years, and that's a wonderful thing. So there are issues that Paul had to deal with, because, you know, sometimes things get stirred up by someone, and there were those that were really guilty of going after Paul. I mean, he wanted their attention to be on Jesus Christ. Jesus is head over the church, not Paul. Paul was a great man of God, a great evangelist, you know, but he didn't want the attention on him. He wanted the brethren to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the purpose of preaching is to help Christians to grow. The Bible says these 3,000 that were baptized in the book of Acts, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. So these early converts continued. It was not a one-shot deal for them. They continued. Worked just like here at San Angelo. Many of you have been members of the church here for many, many years, and you're still here. You're continuing your faith in the Lord and in the church, and you're being faithful, and you're being steadfast. You know, one of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 15:58, where Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so that's what we are to do. We are to be steadfast and be faithful in the Lord. We need preaching that will bring people to worship regularly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The purpose of preaching is to produce unconditional surrender to the Lord. But consider the action of the early Christians in Acts 2:44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. You have that this morning here in this congregation. You're together, you have all things in common. You know the relevancy of the Lord's Supper, why we have one loaf and one cup, because that's what Jesus said. This do in remembrance of me. You follow the exact pattern that the Lord gave concerning the Lord's Supper. And it was that way for over 1,900 years. For over 1,900 years, the Lord's church came together. They observed the Lord's Supper exactly the way the Bible Jesus gave it, using one loaf of unleavened bread and one cup. It represents the new covenant with the grape juice, the fruit of the vine representing His blood. But in 1915, these men got together and said, oh, we need to change that. We can't use one cup. We might get sick drinking out of one cup. How absurd is that? I've been doing that in one cup for over 50 years. Many of you have also, you know. And so they changed it, and as a result of changing it, bringing in little bitty cups. A lot of times don't even use unleavened bread. Maybe use crackers, whatever. They just changed the whole thing. And the people, you know, they're afraid. A lot of people are afraid. Well, I can't drink out of one cup. I might get sick. Well, I've been doing it over 50 years, I've never gotten sick. We're doing it exactly the way the Lord gave. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, and you know, the Lord is aware of all these things. All of our actions, everything we do in life, the Lord is well aware of. You know. And so the congregation here at St. Angelo, He knows you're here this morning. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows whether or not you've obeyed the gospel or what. And He knows if there's someone in the audience who's ever been baptized for the Christian sins, He knows all, He knows everything. He walks in the midst of a congregation. The Bible says spiritually, our Lord is with us in our assemblies. He knows everything about it. You don't have a single secret from God. Not one secret. And that's a very sobering thought. And yes, even though we're Christians, we make mistakes, we may think things that are not right. But the difference is, we're His children. He loves us, and He forgives us. Remember that one fellow asked Jesus, well, how many times do you want me to forgive this fellow? 7 times? Jesus said, I say to you, you forgive him 70 times 7. There's no limit to God's forgiveness, you know. We all need God's forgiveness. And He loves us, and He hears us, and He wants us to be with Him in heaven someday. And so, yes, the purpose of preaching is to produce unconditional surrender to the Lord. Acts 2:44, all who believe were together and had all things in common. They even sold their possessions and goods, impart them to all men that every man had need. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart or one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Well, there's so much that can be said about this topic here this morning, the purpose of preaching. And I thought that Peter's sermon on the day at Pentecost was a really good example for us to look at, to study over Acts, the second chapter. But I have summed it all up in my notes this morning about the purpose of preaching. And I had written down 11 things in my notes. That the purpose of preaching is to discuss and explain the scriptures, to disturb the audience, to present Christ as man's only hope, to produce conviction, and to cause men to think and to question, to cause men to receive the word of God and to tell the listening audience how to be saved, to lead the lost into the lost church, to produce unity, to help Christians grow, to produce unconditional surrender to the Lord. So these are some of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. And to everyone in our assembly who has never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that this morning. If you believe in Jesus, you must repent, confess He is God's Son, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, and the Lord will add you to the church. Or as a Christian, which is something that troubles you in your life, or something that you want to make wrongs right, or you want to confess, you can be forgiven. Whatever it is that troubles you this morning, if there's a need in your life, come forward and receive a song of invitation.